Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for giving this opportunity to stand in your midst with the youth message. Our God is a good God. How many of you can testify? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As Pastor told me to share, I was thinking, it has been really busy because mommy was not there, so we are busy. But God gave me some thoughts which I would like to share with you. So for today's meditation, let's turn our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 6, verse 27. One of you can read. Young people can, if you get it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to your presence, O God. We thank you, Lord, Master, for this word, O Master. Lord, speak to us, O God, as we sit at your presence. And Lord, learn from you. Lord, you alone, Father, minister to us. Let this word be a blessing to me, to the church, and to everyone who listens, Lord. Lord, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here, you can see that Jesus himself is saying, in the 26th verse and 27th, I will read it for you. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set a seal on him." So here, when you read it, you can see that food has a meaning to everyone's life. For some, it is so special, and many of us enjoy food. You shouldn't talk on Sunday morning, maybe, when you are fasting, but most of us enjoy. There are some who don't enjoy food too, but I'm not going into those categories. But here, you can see that Jesus just did a miracle. What did he do? He made 5 loaves and 2 fishes, fed 5,000 people, and then he took the boat and went off. But there was a group of people who were coming and in search of Jesus. So when they came to see Jesus, but before they came to see Jesus, Jesus is saying these words on the 26th and 27th. It says that you are seeking me not for the signs, but you are seeking me for the food. That's why you are seeking me. But Jesus said here, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." So there was certain food which satisfied them. People ate, they were satisfied, they were happy with that. So when they were happy, they went again to Jesus because it's free food, am I right? You don't need to work, you don't need to do anything. But you're getting free food, so why not have it? So they went in search of Jesus. It was a good way to get free food, okay? But here, what Jesus said is, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." So today, one translation says like this, "Do not work," instead of labor, it says work. "Do not work for the food that perishes." We all work for food. In other words, we all work hard so that we can enjoy life, we can have good things in life, and that food is also a vital thing, okay? But more than that, don't misinterpret saying that, Jesus said, "Do not work, so I'm not going to work." No, that's not what it really means. But Jesus really meant is, you have to work for food that gives eternal life. So today my message is, working for the food that gives eternal life. What does that mean? When it means work for the food. Working is an act, am I right? So God expects us to work. God expects us not for the food that perishes, not for the food that will decay, that is good in your mouth, and once you feel good in your taste buds, after that you do not know what happens to the food. Technically, you don't feel the taste. That's it. For the moment you feel the taste and then it perishes. But Jesus himself said here, you should work for things that gives you eternal life. So what does it mean? Today the message is, in a short time we are just going to see, what does it mean to work the works of God? So when you read the next verse, it says like this. They asked him the question, what should we do so that we could do the work of God? Or that we may work the works of God. And Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in me. Believe in him whom he sent. In other words, God did not tell us in Christianity, God does not require us an action to please God. God's not like other religions. That's what I'm coming. In Islam, you have to pray 5 times a day. That action technically pleases them. But that is not what God intends here. God, when God said work, Jesus himself said is, you have to believe in him. So the first thing when God says work, it means you have to believe that Jesus is God. You have to believe that he is sufficient for us. He doesn't stop there. When you read the end of the verse, end of this chapter, or if you go on reading, it says, the 35th verse, it says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. So Jesus said that if you believe in me, I am the bread of life. In other words, I am the one who's the sustainer of your life. The bread, when you see, the bread is considered as a stable, as a staple food. It's considered as a necessity or carbohydrates which you need for your sustenance. But Jesus is substituting that bread and saying, I am the bread of life. I am the sustainer of life. I am the one who's in charge of your life. So that's why he says, he who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. If there's no hunger and thirst, we are satisfied. That is all we need. Am I right? So what Jesus meant here is you have to believe in him for your spiritual needs. You have to believe that he is sufficient for you irrespective of any circumstances. He will take care of us. He did not say, if you do this, I will do things for you. What he said here is, believe in me. The work that you have to do is put your complete trust in him, that he is able to take you through the circumstances. He is able to take you up till eternity. He gave his life for us. He sacrificed himself as the bread was broken. As the bread was broken into many pieces, his flesh was broken so that we can gain eternity. When you think of that, the bread which just denotes Jesus was broken into pieces. Why? Because you and I can enjoy that eternity. You and I can enjoy the life with God even after death, or even when we leave this world. That is why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When he said, maybe the disciples didn't understand at that time, but when his body was broken there, when his body was torn into pieces, you can see that certainly his life became the bread of life. His body became the bread there, which was taken apart for your sins and my sins, so that we can enter that beautiful place. So, but what we have to do is not an act. What we want to do is not an action. What God expects from us is to trust him in him completely. When we trust in him completely, when we put our faith completely in him, he will take care of us. Because he who called us is faithful. He who started the race will complete it, the Bible says. So we have to trust him for eternity. If we trust him, I heard a quote. If we trust a person for eternity, then you will not worry for anything else. If you can trust a person, if you can trust Jesus for eternity, you will not worry about the things of this world. Because eternity is greater than the things in this world. What is the things? The things in this world, as by Jesus himself said, are food that perishes. Things that are important. When I was small, there were things which were very important to me. But now that is not important. We used to think maybe playing games may be important at this age, at a certain age. But when you become 35 or you are in your 30s, you don't feel to play. Or there are people who play, don't you? There are people who still play. But that doesn't be a priority. Am I right? It changes. Or when you become older. Similarly, what you can see is God, all these things are perishing. That's what I'm coming to say. All the things of this world will perish. But that doesn't mean when God takes care of your eternity, God takes care. You can trust him for your physical needs too. In the Bible, you can see that God will take care of your physical needs too. That's why he says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest, he says. You don't need to be worried about your physical things. If you believe in him for eternity, if we trust in him that he will take us to heaven, let us not be worried about the worldly things. That's why Bible is assuring us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayers and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. So maybe we are troubled today. Maybe you are troubled. Many things are going through your mind about your physical needs, about things, oh, these things are not working for me, or these are the things which are not going according to my plan. One thing all you have to do is believe in him. If you trust Jesus for eternity, that he will take you to heaven, he will certainly provide all that you need in your life. He can provide you food, he can provide you clothing, he can open ways which is impossible in your life. God can open and God can lead. All you have to do is believe in him. So what is the work of God that God expects from each and every one of us today? Irrespective of your circumstances, even if you're going through the storms in life, even you go through unexpected pitfalls in your life, or are going through struggles which you did not anticipate, what you should do is believe in him, because he is sufficient. That is what it means, work for the food that gives eternal life. Use complete trust in him. That's why the Bible says like this, trust him as a little child. When you see little children, when you take them by their hand, they are not worried where you go. They're not worried wherever you take them. As long as they know it's their father, their mother, or a known person, they simply come with you. Similarly, that is a faith that you and I should develop. That is a faith that God wants you and me to have, that the Heavenly Father has taken you by your hand and is leading you. He's guiding you to that eternal shore. Every day he's going to lead us. But what we have to do is just trust in him. Do not murmur the path that God is leading. Do not grumble why these things are occurring. As long as you have the hand of the master with your hands, as long as it is clung on, and as long as you go forward, you can know for sure he is faithful to lead you. He is faithful to bless you. He is faithful to lead you until eternity. So that is what is God expects from us. All what we have to do is believe in him. The work of God, that is the work for the food that the work of God that God expects from us, is to believe in him. The second thing what God wants us to do is, let one of you can read Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6. Yes, thank you. So here you can see, it says like this, therefore, leaving the discussion. When you say therefore, it means you have to technically read the passage before that. But it says here, let us leave the elementary principles of Christ and let us go on to perfection. So with the works of God, first thing what we meditated was to believe in him completely. The second thing what the work of God mean is, as a believer, you and I should desire spiritual maturity in your life. God expects us to get mature in our life. That is why here it says, the writer of Hebrews, it says like this, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So God desires us to grow. God desires us that we become mature. And it should also be the desire of a believer that we should also grow in God. Not only God desires us also to grow. So it should go both hand in hand. When it goes hand in hand, what will happen is, here the writer says, let us leave elementary teachings, repentance, baptism, laying of hands, all those are elementary teachings. Beyond that, God wants us to become mature believers. What does it mean being mature believers? Okay, so when you read the fifth chapter, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14, or 13 or 14 I will read, for everyone who takes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those by reason of use their senses, exercised to discern both good and evil. So here what God desires is, milk is good. In other words, milk is good. But it is good for babies. In the worldly thing, it's good for babies. Or it's good till when a child is up to 4 years or 5 years, even you can drink maybe 8 just. But if a person is going to sustain in milk when he's up to 10, 15, that's not good, because you need to eat solid food. Because you need more energy, the child grows. Similarly, in our spiritual life, God wants each and every one of us to grow in Him. You cannot always be eating and drinking milk. You cannot always be doing the basic things. What God expects us is to have a mature Christian life. All of us talk about maturity. What is maturity then? What do we think is maturity? In other words, when we tell, let me just touch a couple of things. You have the Sermon on the Mount, where in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, many of you are familiar with it. Okay? Maturity is forgiving. I'll give you some instances. Forgiving others who have done bad things to you. Somebody whom it is not natural to love a person who has done bad. Or in other words, if somebody loves you or likes you, it's easy to reciprocate. For instance, Rijo brother likes me, so I reciprocate. He gives me a lunch, I give him a lunch. Okay? For instance, okay? If there is a person who has a problem with me, who criticizes me, or I have a problem with that person, okay? But to love that person is called spiritual maturity. To love, to forgive that person is what God intends from us. That is what God wants us in us. Not to criticize the person, not to push that person saying, I will have communion only with good people or only with people whom I like, is not spiritual maturity. But what God wants us is, that we grow to that level. God expects us that we become like Him. His mind, when it comes to us, only then we can think like that. We cannot think with our carnal mind. We cannot think with our human mind such a thing. We cannot forgive a person with our human mind because maybe they have done things which hurt us or hurt our ego. But how can we forgive is only when God's presence, God's mind come into our lives. So that's what is called maturity. Forgiving others when they did bad. Loving others as God loved them. Doing the will of God. I'm just giving you examples of maturity. When you grow or become mature in Christ, you will try to do God's will in your life. You will try to perform what God desires in your life. That is what it means to work the works of God. Desiring spiritual maturity. Today, God is speaking to us. We are all believers. God is here. Even Paul is writing to believers only. He says, go on to perfection. Go on to spiritual maturity, which means that we have to grow in Christ. If you sit at the presence of God, God will speak to you in which areas you have to grow. God will tell you in which areas you have to work on. The Holy Spirit, you don't need a prophet to come and tell, to keep your hands and tell you that. You don't need anybody to come and tell you that. All you have to do is sit in the presence of God. And when you sit at God's presence, He will reveal to you areas in which you have to rectify, in where you have to grow in the Lord. And that is what God expects from us. Then lastly, I would like to say one more thing and conclude. Can one of you read James chapter 1? James chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. So here, what does it mean to work the works of God is to sanctify yourself in God's presence. Okay, so the first thing what we saw is to believe in Him completely. The second thing what we meditated is desiring maturity in your life, spiritual maturity. The third thing what you see here is sanctifying ourselves in God's presence. Here it says in the 21st verse, it says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Yes, as we grow mature in Christ, because we live in this world, there is a high probability of this corrupt world that we can also drift away. There is a chance for a believer that we can fall away from grace anytime. There is a chance that we can become, we're not corrupt, I would not say, but we can slip away from the right and fall off. Okay, so that is why James is writing here, is lay aside filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the word. In other words, God wants us to sanctify our lives. Even though when we grow spiritually mature, it's very important that you and I have our life sanctified. The blood of Jesus, you should understand, cleanses us from all our sins. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for that. But it's a believer's duty to make sure that you remove the filthiness, remove those sins which creeps into your life as a result of your interaction with the world, as a result of your thoughts, as a result of what you intend to do. There is a high probability, because the world that we live in is not a perfect world. The world, what we see is all corruptness and wickedness around this world. Even in the news, even if you take the news, anything you see, you can see there's a lot of wickedness. But what God intends is, God intends us that we sanctify ourselves in God's presence. That is why it says here, be ye doers of the word and not as hearers of the word. Where God intends us is not hearing the word, but obeying the word of God. And what James writes here is, a person who does not do the word of God is just like a person going to the mirror, getting up in the morning, just I'm putting my own hypothesis or own imagination, getting into the mirror, seeing his hair or his face which is unclean, and just walks away doing nothing. Am I right? It's just like that. So similarly, if you are receiving the word of God, if you go to the mirror, once you receive, you see what is wrong. And once you see what is wrong, you rectify it and do not commit it again. Ask God to help you. That is why James is giving so much importance to sanctification. That is why James is saying, not only growing spiritually mature is important, it's important to sanctify ourselves every day, every moment, to prepare us for that coming of the Lord. That is why Paul writes like this, I prepared you as a chaste virgin before the Lord. To prepare ourselves as a bride before the Lord is what God intends from us. So that is what we also have to prepare. Wash ourselves, cleanse our hearts, and be ready for the coming of the Lord. So in short, I would like to conclude saying like this. Work for the food that gives eternal life. Do not work for the food that perishes. The things of this world will perish. The things of this world will come to an end. But what will never end is the eternity that we have with God. So with these words, let us all stand up. The Malayalam choir will come forward. And we are going to sing songs. But as we stand up, let us submit to God. Ask God to give us grace to work for the food that gives eternal life. How is it possible? It's by believing in Him completely. Trusting in Him completely that He is sufficient to lead us. He is sufficient for our spiritual life. He is sufficient for our physical life. To desire spiritual maturity in God. To desire a spiritual growth in God. That is what God expects from us. And also, every day to sanctify ourselves. Today also, as we stand in the presence of God, let us ask God to cleanse us, to sanctify ourselves, and let us be a witness for God. May God bless you with these.